Why?
It was something to do.
Okay. Whatever.
Not a lot to do here in the chapel. Stuck the chapel.
Well, what's this they're talking about, Lance Stevenson?
He got hit. And then he mouthed off.
Oh, so he did Lance Stevenson things.
Yeah, it's not important. Let's get the show.
Yeah, hold on. Oh, yeah.
He flopped. Flop! $5,000.
He learned from the best. The man he flopped on.
LeBron's doing that damn mouth guard thing.
It's a bit much.
I did it too, though, whenever I had to do.
I don't understand basketball players in general, because I don't just want to single out LeBron, but...
You don't understand why they wear a mouth guard?
No, I don't understand how...
Because I do.
How everyone flops and then gets mad when someone else does. I don't understand that. It's like 11...
So you're mad at soccer, too.
In some instances, yeah.
Every instance.
It's one of those things where it's just like, come on, man. I mean, you know it's a part of the game. You do it.
Although, if I had to rate on a scale, soccer flops are generally better. Artistically.
Yes. Yes, because the thing about soccer flops is they're either hilariously bad or buy it.
Well, the damn thing is...
There's nothing in between.
Well, the damn thing is they practice. They actually practice flops is the damn thing. I know, I'm just saying that, but... I feel 99% sure that they practice flops. I'm pretty sure Chelsea has. All right, guys, it's flop Friday. Flop Friday, guys. Let's bring it in, everybody. All right, any new ideas for new flops, guys?
Andy, we were able to visit Arsenal's practice the other day. Had a wonderful flopping section on Friday.
Seriously.
So good.
No, the basketball, the worst is football because, oh, God. In a contact sport, you should be able to know how to make a fall look real.
Oh, yeah.
But when three New York Giants go down, oh, walk, thud. Yes. Get up.
Oh, no. I think I pulled my pinky toe. The humanity. Yeah. When the Giants did that against the Eagles, right? Or was it the Redskins? It was one of those fast-paced teams. They were trying to slow them down. And that's so Tom Coughlin, though. That's so Tom's like, there's nothing against it. Take the fall, boys.
Well, no, you just know that that's what you do. I mean, you just go down and say, my groin's out, and come back in two plays later. Just pull your groin. Tell the coach, took a dive, coach. Make it look real. I'm okay.
It's what they call in the wrestling business, taking a bump.
Yeah, it was.
Took a bump, rolling.
Let's get the show!
Oh, we're doing show?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
That's what we're doing.
It's what we've been doing for the past 3 minutes, and I think it's pretty good stuff.
Has it been recording?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, anyways, today on Eastbound and Fourth Down, NBA playoffs. Our team's out of it. Is Scott Brooks the best coach of all time?
Totally not.
Followed up by...
No, Serge Ibaka is the best... Serge Ibaka is the greatest suck-it-up-and-play player of all time.
And then we talk chest tattoos.
Yes, we will.
Keep them? Get rid of them? Do we love them? Yeah, of course we do. Then we got NHL playoffs that's still going. We got to touch base on that. And then Dr. Love is in the house.
Ooh. Ooh, advice to a certain golfer on the green?
And perhaps a little young miss on the women's tennis tour. All that on Eastbound and Fourth Down.
Oh, I'm sorry, audience. We didn't see you there.
Welcome back.
This is Eastbound and Fourth Down with Ryan Kelly and...
Craig Wilson.
Craig Wilson over there. And, wow, pretty interesting baskety hoops week.
It has been quite the compelling What was a no series has become a series in the West, and what was a no series remained a no series in the East.
Despite a hilariously, disgustingly ugly win from the Indiana Pacers last night.
UGOY, they don't have no alibi. It was ugly.
Oh, you went there.
Oh. I went back to grade school because that's how they won that game. The Heat gave them that game. Matched a career playoff high, 17 turnovers. LeBron James had a garbage shooting night and had 5 fouls. And honestly, that's the only way the Pacers are going to win this series is if the Heat have 2 more games like that, which the odds are slim to non-existent.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there. Like I said, it was going to take something. It was going to take them playing their game. And whenever you play the Pacers, it takes them drawing you into this ugly, disgusting style that they play.
Well, for starters, the Pacers couldn't even play their style of basketball.
This is true. No, because they still struggled to score points.
Oh, struggling all night. But even more so than usual. Yeah, it was 93-90 or whatever the score was, but never have I seen a team get a must-win win and look just absolutely devastated that they won the game. That team looks so petrified that they have to go back to South Beach to play a game for their playoff lives. That team, I suppose it's a little presumptuous of me to be making a statement such as, that team doesn't want to be playing right now, but that team doesn't want to play right now.
No, they don't want to be playing right now.
They don't want to play right now. Quite frankly, they're probably perplexed as to why they're still playing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're surprised as the rest of us. They know that they're not playing good basketball. They know that they've been just about demoralized in this series. Yet, for some reason, some way, somehow, here we are, Game 6.
That's 2 more than I thought it was going to take.
Any chance this goes 7?
Oh, God. I mean...
Because the thing is this.
You gotta say no. Oh, I guess...
You'd hope not in the AAA. You'd really hope that Miami can close this out on their home court. But I will tell you this. If for whatever ungodly reason they can't win, that gets a little scary for Miami on the road.
Well, the fans show up to Bankers Life or whatever, Farmers Life, whatever, the field house, just like every basketball arena in Indiana is called, the field house.
Yes.
Because they play in barns in Indiana.
Yes, sir. As God intended.
Well, I don't know about that, but anyways, the fans will show up, and they said that's the only way they you wonder what I think the biggest problem is?
What?
The biggest problem was that the Pacers, from day one, said, we want 7 games. It's going to take 7 games to win this.
Yeah.
And I think that it's always been in their head that we can't win this in less than 7 games.
You really think so? They're just trying to string it out?
I think that's the only thoughts that they had. But even when they were winning, they were always, we want Game 7 at home. And when you say we want Game 7 at home, there was never a we want Game 7 at home, but we're looking to close it out in 5. There was always Game 7. We can't beat them in less than 7 games. It's going to take us 7 games to beat them. I mean, on one level, you should say, well, maybe they're tipping the hat and saying, oh, well, this team's very good, and they're equals, and it's going to be, you know, best of an odd series game. But I don't think that at any point in this season that the Pacers actually thought they could beat Miami.
Oh, that's where you're wrong.
Am I?
Early half of that season, they thought they could deal Miami, and they looked the part. They looked the part of the team built to beat Miami that plays the opposite style of basketball
and exploits
every single one of Miami's weaknesses. And early on, they looked exactly like that last team, like that team, and now they just don't.
But they, I never heard, not even a six games, and maybe you don't want to disrespect, give the quote bulletin board material. As if saying we want Game 7 at home isn't bulletin board material enough, saying you're better than them. Even if the Pacers fell off so hard, if the Miami Heat had it purposefully, tanked isn't the word, but not played their starters for the last month and gone on that losing streak to enter the playoffs just cold as ice, Pacers... If the Heat had kept at a decent pace, not their 30-game winning streak from last year or whatever it was, Miami would have been the number one seed. It took the last day before they somehow lucked out on it. But after the All-Star break, I'm going to go so far as to say that the Pacers thought they couldn't beat the Heat. Something happened. Something in their fragile little minds.
Well, they just started to hate each other. Plain and simple.
Well, it all started whenever they traded for Andrew Bynum. How bad is it that Andrew Bynum, I will hardly play, but just his mere presence as a bench guy, never even threatened Roy Hibbert for the job. They're like, this guy's a bench guy. Maybe we won't get anything out of him. How bad is it that Andrew Bynum is this destructive in an NBA locker room? And how bad is it that there's going to be some desperate team out there that's going to sign him next year?
Oh, yeah. Just because someone will take him.
Just because he was 7 foot and he used to be a 20-10 a night guy. Chicago, a team decimated by injuries. Not necessarily at center, but, I mean... They were having no part of him. They were like, we're signing you, release you, thank you, goodbye, good riddance. We wash our hands of you before we even touch you.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, it's a shame. Miami's going to be able to walk into the playoffs, walk through the playoffs again. Do you think that if there had been an actual challenger for Miami in the East... over the past 4 years, if they'd have made it there 4 years in a row, like they're going to?
Well, early on, they kind of did have challengers.
From who?
That first year, the Celtics were still good.
Oh, no, no, no.
And they were always LeBron James' kryptonite.
After
and
they made old it men? You're telling me old men are LeBron James' kryptonite?
Yes.
Old men.
LeBron is terrified of old people.
Well, then why didn't he move to Miami?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Made it funny.
but I feel like probably, but at the same time, someone outside of a Dallas team that got hot has to prove that wrong. Someone has to prove that they can beat them in a playoff series.
That would be San Antonio last year with them getting the luckiest old man Ray Allen shot.
But they still got it.
Yes, they did, but... You know, looking forward though, there's a couple guys on that Heat roster, about three guys that could retire. Shane Battier, Ray Allen, James Jones maybe, and there's some
Udonis Haslem.
Udonis has got a few more years. I was thinking Lewis.
Rashard Lewis.
He's been there. And the Heat are going to have some holes to fill. And so, looking ahead...
So are you one of these people, because it gets brought up every single year at the end of the season, is this the year that the Roundup Gang gets broken up?
Chris Bosh says he wants to stay, and I believe Chris Bosh, because Chris Bosh knows if he goes anywhere else, he's not winning another ring. He's not. If he has to be the guy, Chris Bosh is not going to win a ring. Chris Bosh has to be this complimentary piece. And he has to be such a complimentary piece that he's not the second, even the first or second option. He needs to go to a place, take a heck of a lot less money maybe, or maybe find a decent one, a decent team that can afford to perhaps pay him some money, i.e. Dallas. Chicago, it's probably not as likely. I'd take him, though. And then he could actually move back to power forward.
Yeah.
And that'd be a heck of a team if Chicago doesn't get Melo or Love.
Not even for you, but just because I want it as basketball, I really want you guys to get Melo. I want that. Just I want the ultimate offensive piece on this ultimate defensive team. I feel like they could both. That's a very mutually beneficial transaction.
Well, I just it would be. I just want someone from the East to step up. I want there to be semi-balance. I want there to be two. The natural balance in the NBA is there's two good teams in each conference. There has to be that payoff at the end of the season, conference finals. Two good teams going against each other, not the Miami Heat versus scrubs.
Oh, and I agree.
At the start of the year, I would not have called the Pacers scrubs. At the end of last year, I would have called them scrubs. But this year, scrubs.
Yeah.
Don't want no scrubs around here. Unfortunately, that's what we have.
Well, I'll tell you who isn't scrubs. That's the San Antonio Spurs. But they made a bump in the road.
They
Serge Ibaka.
The coaching genius, that is Scott Brooks.
You're doing that just to bother me, and it's working.
That conniving coach. That scheming little cheating guy. Hey, Serge, take a dive here. You're going to sit out the first two games.
Oh, shut up.
You're going to come back.
Just shut up.
And we're going to sweep them in four.
Listen, no.
OKC. OKC.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, stop it.
Get the rally towels out, kids, and your matching white, blue, and yellow t-shirts in accordance to the section that you sit in.
Oh, at least it's not the all white.
Oh, God. You know the worst part about the Heat when they do all white? Their fans just show up in white. They don't provide t-shirts. They show up in their white Oxford shirts, and it's just, oh,
yeah.
We get it. Miami people like to wear white because it's hot. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I hate that thing. But anyway, bleh. Does OKC have a shot?
OKC has a shot.
I don't think
so. OKC has a shot. I know I called for a sweep in four, but when you're tied 2-2, since 2011, Oklahoma City has won all four series that they've been in tied 2-2. All four of them.
See, I don't think about that. I just, blah.
But it's those weird stats where Oklahoma City knows, hey, we're back in it. I didn't think they were going to get that second game. I thought that Coach Pop was going to come out there. He was like, all right, Serge is back. This is how they're playing. Compensate. Go.
What are your thoughts on this most recent game where Pop drew his starters so quickly?
This is Pop going, we're not winning here. Well, it's a little weird. It seems weird at first, but then when you think about it, when Pop pulls starters for whole games during the regular season, Greg Popovich knows we don't need this game. It'd be great. It's not a need. It's not a need until it's elimination for Greg Popovich, because Greg Popovich is not fazed.
Oh no!
By any team, he's not phased when a team's up in the series. He's not phased when his team is down in the series, or tied down perhaps a little bit if it's down like 3-1 or something like that. But you know, you're not coming back from 3-1. We're talking Haley's Comet odds for that. But Greg Popovich, he's a smart man. He says, "I've got old guys. You know what? It's good. This." Spurs, this Thunder's team is back to running. This team's going to run, so we're going to need our legs for game five in San Antonio.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He's playing. He's like, you know what? This could go seven, so let's save it for home. I wouldn't be surprised. Things go south in game six. if the Spurs win game five, of course. Greg Popovich does the same thing. Fourth quarter, Stars are going to sit for a bit.
Yeah.
Quite possible.
Yeah, I'm. But see, here's the thing. I don't think this is a series. I think at the end, San Antonio, it's going to out-scheme. They're going to out-play. They'll figure out what's going on up the middle there. And end of the day, they're going to win this series, and they're going to go to the finals. I mean,
if they win, I won an ESPN 30 for 30. What happened to Serge Ibaka's calf? You know?
What if I told you?
Maybe Bristol gives us the call and gives us the go-ahead to run their reject. You know?
What if I told you?
Maybe that's coming up.
Might have to happen.
Yeah. I mean, a la Paul Pierce going out in a wheelchair and coming back to will the Celtics.
What if I told you?
To a win in L.A.
Okay, so... All right, this is... I do not know how this happened, but the ACC officially unveiled their new logo today.
Oh, you're talking the former Big East logo?
And their branding book. The branding book actually looks really nice. Like, they've stepped up their graphic game.
Cool.
Is what I'm trying to tell you.
Oh, is it on par with Big 12 yet?
Somehow Syracuse gets... Like, every team gets a page.
Yeah.
Syracuse basketball and lacrosse winning nothing... gets page one, and page two is Jimbo Fisher with the national championship trophy.
It's going to sound bitter because we're both Florida State alums, but Florida State gets no love from the ACC carrying that conference through football.
Well. That's the one thing I'll give them is I know exactly what that move is all about. That's about saying, hey, New York market, you're kind of our favorite now.
Yeah, Tobacco Road, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I'll get to that in a second. Page three, who do you think's page three?
Duke?
Oh, no.
No?
No, John Swofford is still the commissioner, my friend.
Oh, sorry, North Carolina.
Wine and cheese is still an important part.
North Carolina.
Page four. Who's four? It's a full page. It's actually really pretty, if you can get past the color.
Virginia?
No.
Oh, Clemson.
Oh, yes. With Howard's stupid rock thing.
It's shade of blue/purple?
No, it's just orange. It's like a gradient orange. It starts with Sammy Watkins in the foreground, and then it strolls back to...
Talent you're going to see at Clemson for like 6 years.
Page five. Who's page five?
You can't put Duke that far back. Or can you? Can you? Oh, wow.
You can put them further back.
Oh, harsh.
Who is it?
Miami.
Wrong.
Virginia?
Wrong.
Oh.
They're playing media market here.
Pittsburgh.
And then after that...
Oh, yeah, because the big Pittsburgh media market.
Whoa. Then after that, our second Carolina school would be...
Dude.
Wrong again.
Oh, NC State.
NC State.
Wow.
Baseball dog pile.
Wow.
For NC State. And then, finally... Duke. Who gets the Duke picture?
Kay.
There's three people. It's Kay...
Plumlee?
A women's basketball player.
Don't know her.
And then on top of both of them, like in the background, it's like the friggin' Blue Devil looking down upon them. It's kind of freaky.
I wonder if the girls on the complimentary mouse pad you got at one of their events.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Please tell me this is the human being I think it is for Virginia Tech.
Michael Vick?
Logan Thomas.
Ooh!
Or this might be their new quarterback. I don't know.
Ew, it should be.
But then after them...
No one wants to remember Logan Thomas. Sorry, Logan.
Then after
you
them...
didn't do much there.
The Deeks.
Wake.
The Deeks. And then all the way down... Hi, Hurricanes. Good to finally see you. And then... appear 11th on the list.
Notre Dame?
No. Or no, wait. Yeah. Appear very far back on the list. You're at Georgia Tech.
Oh.
You can do that.
Wait, how did Notre Dame get left so far back?
That's the screw you, buddy. That's the join in football or screw you.
Yeah, you're right there.
That's what the, and then finally the Eagles.
Oh, you're still here?
And then yeah. You're exactly. Still here? And then
well, at least Notre Dame will get to keep one of its old Catholic rivals.
Yeah, and then here comes Virginia.
Bringing up the rear.
They're bringing up the rear. Okay, and then Notre Dame, finally. Notre Dame gets the brand mission page. And then there's a brand identity. And then as an after credits type deal, after like their summary page, picture of Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino is the after credits new Avenger.
Looking at you, buddy. Next, they join this year, don't they?
Yeah.
They're this year.
As soon as baseball season's over, they officially become a member. Because it's the last sport of the calendar year.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But anyway, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. Let's scroll on back up to the Duke page.
Okay.
To quote-unquote brand conversions. Through the brand development process, the ACC has identified 8 brand conversions required to transform its overall market proposition, perception, and position. Words, and it's like a word association game, essentially. It's saying, nope. We want to go from this word to this word. We're in the process of...
You want to go from academic conference to competitive conference.
No, they're trying to do both. I must say, you know, the logo's whatever. The logo's kind of meh. But the stuff in here, they consulted somebody, because this is good stuff. That's not something you expect from the ACC. The ACC likes to mess up their overall branding.
Well, what this is good for them is they now have access to New York markets.
Give me a second, but they want to go from Southern to Atlantic Coast. From regional to national.
Okay.
Here's number three. Here's number three, and this one hurts John Swofford a little bit. From Tobacco Road to 15 unique members.
No.
To everyone as special in their own way.
I will sign off on everything except for Tobacco Road elitists. You will stay forever, Tobacco Road.
From basketball's greatest rivalries to basketball's greatest conference.
Well, they got some work to do. There's promise there, but they got some work to do.
From an average football conference...
Yeah?
...to a top-ranked Power 5 conference.
That ain't
And in quotations, it says, "Thank you, Jimbo." No, it doesn't.
It should.
Yes. From competitive in a range of sports... ...to unmatched in sporting depth/success...
That's a little too bold there. Perhaps they should have stuck with, I don't know, a combination of the first one and depth.
Oh.
Depth.
Oh, and brace yourself. Shots fired, Big Ten.
Oh, no.
From strong academic schools to nation's top academic/athletic conference.
Oh.
You get you some of that, Big Ten.
There's a little bit over the Pac-12, too.
Yeah.
You got Cal Berkeley, you got Stanford, they're holding the fort down.
Oregon State. Washington State.
Some people like to say
Arizona State.
Oh, hey now.
Arizona.
Within reason.
Arizona.
Oh. You got the Cal schools. It's the California schools mainly that they're pinning their hats on. Stanford carries a lot of that weight. Stanford pretty much just makes Arizona a wash.
The Harvard of the West, Paul.
Well, it is.
Utah's not that great of an academic school, are they?
I wouldn't know.
Because BYU's the smart school there, right?
Probably. State's probably okay, too, I guess. I don't know. I don't really pay much attention to the Utah athletic field.
And then the last one. Oh, this last one's so cheesy.
Well, they got Colorado now, too. They got Colorado.
From tradition as it honors the past.
Uh-huh.
True tradition as it elevates the future.
I don't know about that last one. Yeah. I don't know. You got to keep tradition. if you want to be good and recognized in football or whatever, you have to have the word tradition. But yeah. Pretty sure the SEC has tradition 20 times, and it's...
Tradition, heritage, and racism.
Whoa, hey now.
You said the SEC.
Hey now, we're not talking about Florida or Mississippi State. Hey now. But yeah, you too, probably Mississippi State. I don't know, maybe I'm being a little harsh there. Yeah.
And then they have, like, all their logos, like, because they have the ACC logo and whatever team's color the page is on, next to the team's actual logo, and they're, like, completely, like, white and then background logos. They look nice.
Okay.
They look nice. Florida State's is kind of unique because, you know, Florida State's got, like, all the backdrop colors going on and stuff like that. And instead, it's just, like, see-through. It looks cool.
Okay.
It looks really cool. They did a... As much as I like to make fun of the ACC, they did a good job here.
That's weird.
Yeah. What's going on?
ACC?
All this.
Stop getting your stuff together.
It's all that New York elitism, Paul.
Oh, it's all that East Coast bias.
Yes, sir.
We now have the major New York school. And
we didn't get Rutgers.
And Boston. And we have Boston for whatever for all the good that it's done the ACC over the years.
For all the Jesuits who love them some ACC football.
So you're saying we're going to get Georgetown next? Georgetown's the next member of the ACC?
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Except they don't have a football program.
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
You got to have a football program if you're going to come to the ACC. Now, we're looking at Notre Dame still. Notre Dame, as soon as your contract runs out with NBC, you give us a jingle. Works up now. Anyways, it's time to move on to a new segment on Eastbound and Fourth Down.
Oh, I know you're excited for this one.
I am. It is. I don't know if we should... This will be a working title. For today, it shall simply be known as Prison Tat of the Week. And today's awesome tattoo is our favorite, AJ McCarron, and his awesome tattoo of the Mobile Skyline.
It's the Mobile Skyline.
Jesus.
A national championship trophy, and maybe a can of Skull. So I'm not sure about that last one.
It's a work in progress. He keeps adding on to it. It's expanded to his arms. It's hidden expertly by all shirts, but again, we're going to post the link so you can go view this gorgeous work of body art. If you have not seen it already, we highly encourage it. But we will periodically point out awesome athletes with tattoos that make them better than they're probably worth and more famous than they probably are.
Yes, sir.
Future names could include Allen Iverson. Washed up athletes who we've never heard, who you might not think of. Maybe Stephon Marbury.
You went there.
Maybe college athletes you've never heard of. We'll broaden your horizon when it comes to tattoos on this show. So look forward to more of that. But it's time to move on to hockey.
Yes, sir. Fun times. Very fun times right now.
Well,
the Blackhawks.
I don't know about fun times.
Blackhawks win a game in overtime, and I'll tell you, it's hockey. That series isn't over.
Living dangerously up there in Chicago. They were down 3-1. Most had them figured out because Jonathan Quick had seemed to have gotten his act together.
Yeah.
And the Blackhawks couldn't score. And then all of a sudden, the floodgates opened. They got off to a quick, well, not necessarily quick, but they got off to a 3-1 lead. LA comes back, gets the go-ahead, and then Chicago ties it in the third, sends it to overtime.
Oh, Lord.
It was
awesome.
Double overtime. And this is what hockey's supposed to be. And the old saying is, the most exciting event in sports is Game 7 Stanley Cup playoffs. I'd like to amend that. It's any elimination game where the opposing team has a shot to win it.
I like, even though it has nothing to do with hockey, I like our friend Daniel's argument that it's penalty kicks in the World Cup.
Yeah, that it's right up there. It's right up there. PKs Yeah, it's up there. It's up there. But a lot of that is also vested in how much do you hate the countries slash like the countries slash could live if this country won the World Cup. Like, say, if it was, I don't know, two countries I wouldn't be over the rainbow about. I don't know, France versus, I don't know. France versus North Korea and penalty kicks to decide who goes to the second round. And obviously they're not in the same bracket. North Korea isn't even in it this year. If PK's there, I'd be like, And that gets translated to hockey, but it's helpful that at least you're almost guaranteed that one of those teams will be from your country.
This is true.
If not a friendly neighbor up north.
Yeah, but anyway, the Rangers are trying to blow this, aren't they?
No, that wasn't there. Yes, the Rangers could not clinch it at Montreal, but Henrik Lundqvist cannot win in Montreal, except for the first two games where he did. I know, it's weird, but you know that turned into a series. And let's face it, who had the Rangers in the finals against the Canadiens?
This is true.
No one had that. No one. And if you did, you're a liar.
Well, when the Bruins and the Lightning both collapse.
Well, I already knew the Lightning weren't going to make it. That was a pipe dream. And you should have known deep down that was a pipe dream.
Yeah.
You just wanted it because you wanted it for the what if my team also made it? What if the Ducks had made it? There were too many what ifs for that.
So maybe I did want to make that road trip to our Stanley Cup final to Tampa. Don't judge me.
There's nothing wrong with that, but you can't let that cloud your judgment when it comes to guessing who's going to do it. Plus, I mean, although the argument I'm about to make is going to apply directly to the Rangers, because when you trade your captain mid-season for another team's captain, I'm going to question you, but Martin St-Louis has just been a godsend to the Rangers this playoffs, showing grit and not giving up when things are down. And actually, he's been quite the boost to a team that has never found a way to make it past the second round when they have the best goalie in the game in Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I think the Rangers close this out tonight.
I see them winning tonight in Madison Square Garden, going on to their first Stanley Cup in 11 years? No, 12.
It's been some time.
20 years? Wow. They won in 93, right? So they were in it in 93? Something like that. It's been a while, but before they won it once in the early 90s, but the last time they won it before that was like World War II, maybe? I want to say they maybe won one right before World War II started, or World War I, something like that. Yeah. Original 16, and obviously that's who the NHL... If the NHL had their way, we've already said this, it would be New York, Chicago, Original 6, because there's nothing better than Original 6 hockey, according to
Gary Bettman.
And I overheard our favorite hockey analyst on a certain network saying that would be his desired outcome, too, for same set reasons, Original 6.
Well, I just like that because I don't want the Canadians in, and I don't want the Kings in.
I got nothing against the Canadians, you know.
Canada.
Yeah.
Therefore, no.
I'm not going to hold it against them. They're, you know, it's their sport. They care more about it than I do. I'm not going to begrudge them a championship every once in a while. It's been quite some time. They were the last team to win it in 91.
But,
you know.
Yeah. But outside of that, you think we got Rangers? You think we're going Rangers-Kings or Rangers-Hawks? Because I know we both think the Rangers are...
Rangers? And I'm going to say Jonathan Quick just lost his mojo.
Oh.
Gonna go for the rare 3-1 ups coming back. Don't call it a comeback, kids.
See, my thing is this. LA is phenomenal in Game 7. As much as I want the Blackhawks I think it's the Kings.
Well, you have the last two champions playing in a final. What more could you ask for? You gotta hope it goes at least seven and it gets back to Madison. And gotta hope for seven at the least. But I'm gonna stick with the Blackhawks. I'm stick to my guns here. Not gonna flip flop here.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we've got nothing more to talk about. We gotta go. We can't talk about it. Oh.
Too soon, sir. We have.
It's time to take a visit
to the Love Doctor. They call me. That's right. We have to take a visit to the Love Doctor, and the Love Doctor is in the house.
The Love Doctor is taking a visit from a certain little man from across the pond.
Yeah, see,
a certain little man.
He broke up with his girlfriend over a 3-minute long distance phone call right before the French Open, and right before he played the BMW Classic or whatever the heck it was. And, you know, he's getting a lot of flack for it. He's one of the more public, high-profile, but you know what I'm
saying? As he should, because...
No, you want to know what I'm
saying? Simply because she deserves better than him, first of all.
Well, obviously, yes, she deserves to find someone who can actually win a tournament.
Like she's a solid 9, and he's like 3.
Put him at a 4, but...
Alright, I'll give you a 5, Rory. You okay with that?
Hey now.
But you know what? No, not shame on him. Tip of the cap to him. He handled it, you know, fairly responsibly. He's a young man. He realizes, hold on, I'm about to get married. I have lots of money for being mediocre on the PGA Tour. I can have anything I want. I could keep going like this, the single life. I think it's not necessarily saying that's the reason, but he made the smart decision in saying, look, we could spend the next 70 years together, be miserable, get divorced, have kids, and deal with all that, or I could be the responsible grown-up man and say, this isn't working out. We should call it off and save us the heartache. Sometimes you have to realize marriage isn't for you. Good job, Roy McIlroy, whatever you want to pronounce your name. Won himself the next tournament. Of course, it didn't work out too well for the girlfriend, but, you know, hard to say what's going on there.
Well, anyway, call him Dr. Love. That's his advice. I don't always agree, but it's there. You know what we both agree on? We both agree that we have awesome fans that should go like us on Facebook at Eastbound and Fourth Down.
And check out awesome chest tattoos of
AJ McCarron. They should. And then, of course, we have our Twitter page, which you should follow, because then we'd actually tweet. We'd do stuff.
We do lots of stuff. We have tons of stuff planned, but we don't want to waste it for the no followers we have.
Yeah, so let's
follow
do
us.
It.
We promise. We will deliver.
EB4D_podcast. And then, of course, however you're listening, if it's Podomatic, if it's iTunes, however, wherever, whatever, thanks for listening to us. But I'm Ryan Kelly.
I'm Craig Wilson.
Y'all come back now.
Yeah, here. He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done?